Right now I'm studying the biblical principles regarding government. And as we've seen, there are various types of governments. It's self-government, family government, civil government, and church government. In this broadcast, and probably into the next, I'm going to be studying these topics. God desires Gentile nations to glorify Him. God judges nations. Satan orchestrates the world system. And then we'll conclude our studies on government. Today, I'm going to start out with the topic, God desires Gentile nations to glorify Him. God has given to Gentile civil governments freedom of choice, and we've talked about freedom of choice. Many scriptures illustrate that God wanted Gentile civil government to recognize Him as who He is. It's inherent in the fact that the Word of God tells us that God ordained the nations. He did that in Genesis chapter 8 and 9. For the first time, He gave man responsibility to rule over man, but under him and his principles. I want to give you some examples then later on in Scripture. Exodus 7, 5 and 17. Exodus 14, 4. Also 14, 18 in dealing with Egypt. If you look at Ezekiel 25, 11 dealing with the Amorites. Ezekiel 25, 14 dealing with Edom. 25, 17 dealing with Philistia. 26, 6 dealing with Tyre. 28, 22 and 23 and 24 dealing with Zidon. 29, 6 and 9, also verses 16 and 21. Also chapter 30, verses 8, 19 and 25 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 32, 16, all those verses he deals with Egypt. Ezekiel 35, 4, he deals with Mount Seir. Ezekiel 38, 23, dealing with the nations. Ezekiel 39, 6 and 7, Magog and the heathen. If you'll read through the Old Testament prophets, you'll find that God dealt with all the nations then in existence, and He wanted all the nations to realize that He was God and what that meant. Solomon, in his blessing after dedicating the temple, said in 1 Kings 8:60 that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. David, within his last words, said in 2 Samuel 23:3-4, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. To Nebuchadnezzar it was said, as recorded in Daniel 4:32b, They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and given it to whomsoever he will. So it happened, and so Nebuchadnezzar then, after being restored to his kingship, as recorded in Daniel 4:37, extolled and honored the King of Heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, recognizing that those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. So Nebuchadnezzar came to be called the servant of Jehovah. We see that in Jeremiah 25:9, 27:6. 43:10. God judged King Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, because he did not humble his heart, and he lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven, and had not glorified God, in whose hand Belshazzar's breath was, and whose were all his ways, knowing what God had done to his father. You can see that in Daniel 5:17 through 31. Darius, after seeing that God miraculously delivered Daniel when he was thrown into the den of lions, decreed, and we read this in Daniel 6:26 through 27, that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Cyrus chose to serve God. We read in Isaiah 44:28 through 45:1, That saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple, Thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of king to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. We read in Jonah 1:2, Cry against the Gentile city of Nineveh, for their wickedness had come up before him, God. And Jonah went through the city of Nineveh crying, as we read in Jonah 3:4. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. And God saw their good works, and they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not, Jonah 3:10. Unfortunately, as we read in Nahum 3:1 through 19, more than a century later, Nahum delivered an unrelieved warning of judgment because Nineveh had fallen back into moral awfulness. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time, we read in Nahum 1:9. According to Diodorus Siculus, the city was destroyed nearly a century later, precisely as predicted by Nahum. Thus God wishes each civil government to choose to rule for his glory under his precepts, that is, to establish free will for every individual while ruling under biblical principles, but not to enforce God's rules concerning man's relationship with God. Just as Belshazzar was without excuse in that he saw what God had done to his father, likewise rulers and civil governments today are without excuse in that the Word of God is available today for all to read and to know God's principles and his ways. As well, history is available, but it's been covered up, it's been revised. Most people have never read the true history of the world. Obviously, we've said enough to establish that God desires every nation to choose to proceed under his principles. One of those principles being that no man should be forced to worship him, the true God, any false gods, or no God at all. By the same token, they should have freedom of conscience to worship whomever they wish to worship, or not to worship the true God or any God at all.